Bab Metzia, Perek Hei, Mishne Hei. Shomin Paro the Chamor. The Mishnah before, we learned about making a Shuma on something that will be given, something that produces dividends, eggs, animals, and they're given to somebody to produce those dividends. And the Nusach that was used in the Mishnah before is when they're given with a Shuma, they're given with a value. So that's the value that the dividend, that the investment has to produce. What we had in Mishnah Dalid was that the Shuma is not enough to be Moitzi et Midei, the appearance, a Mechzi, Kiribis, where you're giving it as an investment, and really what you're doing is you're lending it, because B'derech Kal with an investing partner who gives something that's Mechayev, Hashko, and Tircha, to a managing partner, there's also a wage. So there has to be some type of wage. We discussed over this, Chabatolo. There has to be some type of wage for his services. Here, the Mishnah is going to be Mechalik, that there are certain things that don't have that rule. Shomen Paro V'chamor, before we had young animals. Here we're having about fully grown animals. A Paro V'chamor that a roi l'melocha, v'chol dovesh hu oisev v'aichol. The Lashon of Chazal, we had this in Eilu Metzias, where Aveda is oisev v'aichol, then one doesn't have to sell it. All he has to do is just keep it working, profitable, to pay off its own expenses. So Mamela by a behemoth that's a cheles, oisa very cheles, to then divide up the dividends, the return, chatzi chatzi lemechza, that's fine. Because over here, the amount that the animal will work will cover the expenses, and it will cover his basic salary. So Mamela, that's built into the system. Mamela, it's not mechzi like a halva that has returns. It's not mechzi keribs. Mokim shenogu lachlik savlodis miyad cholkim. Mokim shenogu legadol yigadel. What's this? Where the minig is, where Reuven gives to Shimon animals from an iska, from an investment, and the general is that the animal is given to Shimon. The animal produces offspring. It has vlodos. That's one of the dividends that an animal produces. Like a tree produces peros, an animal produces peros also. Where the minig is to give that, to divide that as part of the iska, chatzi chatzi, and it's done right away. The emphasis on the miyad making the chalukah, so you look at the Rav, but it's more mapped out in the Gemara, is that be'emes, and it could be that the stomias of the agreement makes sense that it includes that the roya should be megadol the behemah, even though betzim they made up to be mechalik the schar. The schar, the roya doesn't really have any interest in keeping around being megadol behemahs for him. It takes time, it takes expense, it takes it's input. So Meli, he wants to give the animals as soon as they're born, half the animals, he wants to give them back to the owner. Still, the stummiest is that that miyad has a certain amount of time, because you can't take newborn behemoths and move them out of their environment. You also need somebody who's experienced. An investing partner, but that's also a person who's not experienced. The Roya, who he gives it to, who's the managing partner, is usually the experienced one. So the Rav gives from the Gemara that the Shia is behemoth daka shloishim yom, begasa chamishim yom, that's the stomiest of how long the miyad is. Mokum shenogu legadl, but where the stomiest of the opmach between two parties is that he is megadl, so you gadelu. This is a rule that we find in many places, that even where part of an agreement is unwritten, the stummiest is that whatever the norm is in that time, that place, and that space, that becomes the written agreement between the two parties. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Shomin Egel Im Imoy. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel has a day of Chelekes, Legabi the Din of Agolim Usayochim, which is young animals that we had in the previous Mishnah. Before we had that agolim usiyochim, we don't see an immediate revach in terms of usage because they're not oisav oichel. So memela, the one who's the managing partner is bearing the brunt of expenses, and that means that he's paying. What he's really doing is he's working on behalf of the investing partner for the investment that he gave him. That's daimel ribis. Memela, we have to add wages. Says Rav Shimon Gamliel, no. If the animal, if the egel v'sayoch is im imoy, so then we see it agav the mother. The mother is dochiyah oisev v'cheles. mozoin of the vlad, beiker, the offspring, the babies, when they're young, they feed from the mother. So Melia doesn't have to have food. The fact is that he does have to carry the vlodes from place to place, what the Gemara calls schar kotev. On that, the Gemara says he does have a revach because the mother and the child are here. His lamaisa, they matul glolim, they produce fertilizer, so that he could use for his field. So that's his revach. Memel, there doesn't have to be wages. Tanakama holds not that way. Tanakama holds that the glolim b'derech klal hefker. So Memel, there is fort work that's not compensated for. So Memel, there has to be some type of wage. Umafriz al sadeyu. This is something else. Mafris means to be marchiv. Common term that's used. Mafris alamid means to exaggerate. What is he exaggerating over here? We have somebody who owns a field and is somebody who doesn't have assets but is willing to work hard. So we have an investing partner. Somebody who owns something. Same way he could give him capital and that would be like alvo, except if you turn it into an iska, he gives him a field. He's really lending him the field. And the fellow who's receiving the field is going to work hard, and he's going to produce payrolls, and the payrolls is going to go a certain amount to the investing partner. This is what's called a choicher, somebody who's a sharecropper. There's two types. There's a sharecropper and an oris. In the times, Chazal will have more about it later on in the Masechta, there was an arrangement where a person would lease a field, and he would pay a certain amount, 10 bushels for the field. That's how much yearly he's mechuyev. Esek kurim l'shana, shteim esek kurim l'shana. Or it could be a percentage. L'mechtzel l'shlish l'levi, depending on how good of a field it is, how in demand the field is, how little the person who owns the field wants to work on it. And the same thing you have today in businesses. Somebody leases a facility, nursing homes. So how much does the one who invested and bought it, he has the capital really. So now he owns the facility, he's leasing it to Yenim. That's really also b'midim esuyam is like a loan. So he pays him a certain amount. How much does he pay him? He could pay him either a set amount, or he could pay him a percentage of the revachim. So over here, what happens is, tmuras, the fact that he lent him money. Why is he lending him money? That is a separate choiv. The investing partner, like we said, the same way he owns a facility, he owns a field, he also has money. So he's lending the guy money because the fellow has to invest in the field. He has to get workers. He has to set up an irrigation system. He has to pay expenses. So all that is going to cost cash. Until the field produces a crop, or until, like we said, Bizman Azed, the facility turns a profit, it's going to take time. Meanwhile, he needs capital to keep it afloat. Memela, the halacha is that he's allowed to up the chachira, the amount that he gets, from esekurim l'shana l'shtem esekurim l'shana. L'chaira, he's giving him 2 kurim, for the loan. No, we don't look at it that way. The way we look at it, we're allowed to rewire it that way, is that really the investing partner is investing in the business. The same way he has the facility, he has the cash, he's investing the cash on his own behalf of the facility. The fact that later on, the fellow who leased it from him, the Oris, the Choycher, will give back that 200, doesn't mean because he borrowed money. It means that he's giving him back. That's part of the investment. He's giving him back. The same way he's giving him back 12 kurum l'shana, he'll give him back also the mezuzah that he borrowed for the expenses that he has to put into the field. So we're allowed to redefine the relationship between the two in that way. Mishnah Vav. Ein mekablan tzoin barzel mi Yisrael. Tzoin barzel is a musig that's most commonly mentioned in Shas biyachas to a woman that comes into a marriage. And let's explain in that concept. In that context, the mice is like this. A woman comes into a marriage. There's 2 types of investments that she could bring in. She could either bring in a field. Today it would be more like a piece of property, or it would be a business, or it would be stocks that she has. And the automatic is that what she brings in, the house, the stock, belongs to her. The husband has a schus, tmuras, that he has all the shibudi issues, that he takes care of her. So tmuras that, he has the peyrois, the revochim, that are produced by the field. The guf hadover is still owned by the one who brought it into the relationship, by the wife. The peyrois, as long as the marriage lasts, belongs to the husband. That's called nichse melug. Melug means more flexible. It's not more flexible because 30 years later, let's say when the husband dies, the field or the house or the whatever it is that she brought into the marriage could be worth that much, could be worth more, could be worth less. What will go back to her that mikan ve'elich she's independent, whatever it's worth then? That's the flexibility of nichsei melug. Nichsei tzoyim barzel, emphasis on the word barzel, it's made out of iron, it's cast in iron, so it's firm, means that when she comes into the marriage, she comes in, let's say, with property that's worth $100,000. That means that part of the ksuba that he's to owe her, if he dies or if he divorces her, is $100,000. He has a chirayis on the original investment that she brought into the marriage. This is not only about husband and wife. You could have a Reuven and Shimon in business that way. Reuven, like we keep on saying, Reuven has assets. Shimon has muscles and willpower and is willing to work. So Reuven brings into the relationship something that he's going to give over to Shimon. If it's guaranteed, then it's a tzoyim barzel. What Reuven is really giving Shimon that property, let's say, like we said, it's worth $100,000. He's giving Shimon a property worth $100,000, and he owes him back. That really is a tzur of the halvo. Reuven's lending Shimon $100,000, and it's guaranteed he has to give it back. If it would be nichsei melug, so then we would see Shimon as really only working and producing peiros that he has a stake in on the nechasim of Reuven. But if they're guaranteed, that means that Reuven gave the nechasim to Shimon to be returned at a later date. That is bedoimet to a halvo. Ein mekabel tzoyim barzel miyisrael. This type of investment is not okay. It's a halvo with return, with ribbis. Mipnei shehu ribbis. Now the Mefarshim point out that really this din should be pashut. If before this we had by a golem, siyochim, that an investing partner is giving a managing partner an asset that he's going to work on, and he has to pay him a wage, that means that that relationship of passing on something that has a shuma, that has a value that's guaranteed, is ribbis. So this is pashut. Mefarshim explained that the Mishnah really only says this halacha for the next din. However, one is allowed to be mekabel tzoyim barzel from a goy. This is pashut. There's no issur ribbis between a yid and a goy. The Torah defines ribbis ha'asura between two yidin. So Mishnah says, "V'loivin mehenu malvin oisim ribbis." One is allowed to borrow or lend from a goy. You're allowed to borrow money from a bank. You don't even have to iska. You're allowed to lend money to a goyish investor. Allowed to give money for a goy for capital, that you're allowed to. The Torah says in Mepurush, Lanochri Sashich. It's interesting that some of the Moini HaMitzvahs have Lanochri Sashich. The Torah is telling you a command. It's a mitzvah, say, to lend money to a goy beribis. Cheref, the Havamin over here, that one would not be allowed to lend money beribis, that it would be a form of gezel. Kamashmalan is, of course, not. So then why would it be a mitzvah? Could very well be that what the Chazal are underlining in this din is that the Issa of Ribbis is taka, not a form of Gezel like Chosh Mishpat. What it is Yerideya, it's the Torah telling a Yid that he has to underline his relationship with other Yidin. A brother, you don't profit off his needs. Brothers are responsible for each other. For two brothers to lend Biribis is taka Tayeva, it's a Dovah Chomer. A Yid and a Goy, I'm not stealing from him. There's nothing wrong. Am I responsible for him? That not. So to underline the level of responsibility and the feeling of responsibility and the bridelichkeit, the brotherhood between Yid and the Torah says, Fakert, Lanochri Sashich, that defines the relationship between Yid as brothers. Maybe that's the hair, why the Rishonim would hold that there's a mitzvah involved. Lemaisa, the Gemara does say, it's not as simple as that, just to lend money. To be a hard money lender to a goy is not so poshut. To lend money ba'ifin that's bilti mugbal is not so poshut. So the Gemara makes rules about it. Somebody who has a parnosa kvua from that, he's a money lender. What did Yidden have to do in the Middle Ages when they were barred from every profession? They didn't own land, they couldn't own businesses, they couldn't do any professional things. They were either peddlers, or if they had capital, they were money lenders. And a lot of Sinas Yisrael came down through the ages from that. But there's only one little problem. They created the need for Yidden to be money lenders. So that's a parnosa kavua that a Yid is allowed to do. But if he's stam opportunistic and he's using the opportunity to stam lend money, so it's a habit that's contagious. And mimene yum duvigam yasu, and then ribbis will become anoga kavua. Later today, you see it, that people see that you can make a lot of money by being a lender. and Yidden go into the business and they look for opportunities with other Yidden, and you get into the Shailas Chamuras of Ribbis. So where it's not a Parnasa Kavua, Chazal did say that it's the wrong thing to do. The Chazal also gave an out by a Talmud Chochem. A Talmud Chochem is yell out, you won't learn from him, he won't learn, that type of thing. So this halacha is has certain parameters in place. V'chem b'ger toshuv. A ger toshuv, which we find in many places in Chazal, is b'mei Chazal, the ger toshuv was a goy who was mekabel on himself to keep Sheva Mitzvah Neinoch, not Stam, he keeps them, he's mekabel to keep them b'teres mechuyiv mamish. And b'meila, he's allowed to live in Eretz Yisrael because if he's not nichshol l'arayis and there's no avodah zarah, so then there's no mimena yilmudu v'yam yasu. L'maisi is a lot eat nevelos atreves, the Torah says, that you can give food that we can't eat, you give to a ger, it's referring to a ger toshuv. So a ger toshuv has a din like a goy that a yid is allowed to lend him money. Now the Gemara does have a whole discussion because there is a din in Parshas Bahar that a ger toshuv who's living legitimately in Eretz Yisrael and he's an upstanding citizen, there should be a support system for him. The Torah says it. Ger v'soyshov. Both a real resident of Eretz Yisrael, a Yid, or a ger toshuv, there's a din of being machzik him. So maybe don't lend him beribis. If he's down and out, you have to lend him money with no interest. No, that din we don't have. That's why the Mishnah has to say it. Malvi Yisrael, mo'isov shalom kechom, midasov kechom. Now the Mishnah says something else. A Yid could lend money of a goy with the das of the goy. Avaloy midas Yisrael. A little bit cryptic over here. Let's explain. Reuven borrowed money from a goyish moneylender, from a bank. He wants to return the choyv. Lemaisa Reuven now scraped together the money to pay it back. Shimon, turns out, is Reuven's friend. He needs capital. So he tells him like this. Loshon Gemara is, ten li zamois. Give me the money, and I'll pay the ribbis for the amount of time. You scrape together the keren with the ribbis that you had to pay the goy. There's no issue ribbis between a goy and a yid. So it was $100 choyv. Now the amount due is $120. Give me the $120, and the amount of time, the whatever the rate is, 20% per annum, 10%, whatever it is, that much I'll pay on the time that I have the money. If it's done by das the goy, the guy who is the original, he's willing to let the relationship continue with Shimon. He has no problem approving a mortgage arrangement that used to be with Reuven. Now he's lending his money to Shimon for Shimon to have a mortgage arrangement. That, since it's Midas HaGoy, what we see it is really that Reuven's not borrowing money from Shimon. Sorry, Shimon's not borrowing money from Reuven, even though he took it from Reuven. And now he's paying Reuven. He's not borrowing money from Reuven. He's borrowing money from the guy. Sounds straightforward, but the Gemara actually makes a whole inyan chomer out of it. The Gemara says that the truth of the matter is the loike pashtas ha-mishnah, that if the goy would not take the money back from Reuven and hand it over to Shimon, it would be awesome. Because since Reuven has the money now, it's his money until he pays it back to the goy. When he lends it to the goy, he's really lending him money, and if there's interest involved, so it's ribbis. It's a problem. It could be, you'll say, that no, Reuven has an ongoing ribbis arrangement as a loiva with the goy, and he's going to have to pay the goy interest. That doesn't take away the fact that he lent now his money to the yid. So that would be a problem. The Gemara says, there's no way around that. We're talking about over here where the goy actually took the money back. Reuven comes with the money to the goy, and he says, look, here's the money and here's the interest, but I would like for Shimon to assume the mortgage arrangement that I had till now, and that the choyv should be passed over to him. The goy's maskim, theoretically we could look at that the goy is really only operating b'shlichus of the yid, and the yid is really the one who's lending money. The kamashma is not. Now, there's a whole famous discussion about this. L'choyv ain't shlichus l'akum. There's no shlichus that a goy is doing on behalf of the yid. So Rashi, who's on Daf Ayin Aleph, says that maybe the shlichus for the goy, maybe there is shlichus for a goy l'chumra, not l'kula. It's a discussion in different places. Like the famous example is if there would be a mokum, and there's a whole discussion in the poskim to say that there's shlichus to a goy midairaisa. So why don't we say that amir l'akum on Shabbos is dairaisa? For yid tells a goy to put on a light, say shlichus. Yesh lichus lachum lachumra. If it's deraisa, then there would be a makom lodin in that. Yeah, the famous discussion, why by Shabbos? Not nige, where's it? Yeah, nige, where's it? Not nige. Passing over money is a different type of shlichus than doing a maisa on behalf. But okay. The other possibility over here is that there's no shlichus lachum. Tosfos goes in that direction. There's no shlichus lachum in that. With a bechalal. Not mid deraisa, not mid rabbonon. Nor vos. We don't see the goy as really doing anything. If the money is going really straight from Reuven to Shimon, even though the goy took it and handed it over to Shimon, it was deposited by the goyish bank, and the bank now let Shimon borrow that money, the bank is really just passing it over. It's a Maisa Koif Balma. The Maisa Koif Balma, by the way, in Chazal, is actually taking the money and handing it over to the goy. With a bank, would be different, because with a bank, the money that goes in is not the money that comes out. So there you would see it as two different transactions. Hard to say that you would say that it's nothing. He's just passing over the money. Shlichus, theoretically, you could say, but this side of Taisis would be hard to say. That's the din, that's Mavur, over here in the Mishnah. Memela, that's what the Mishnah says, that if it's Midasa, if it's Kechovim, then it's okay. Lamaisa, the Mishnah says that it's okay. Avaloi Midas Yisrael. This that's Mutter is only because the Yad HaGoy Bamtsa, so we don't see it as a continued transaction. We see the goy now lending money to Shimon, the second guy. But if the goy was not here, so then we see the Reuven handing over the money to Shimon. Zol zayin that the relationship is really now between Shimon and the goy. But lamaisa, we really it was Reuven's money, and therefore we see Reuven as lending money to Shimon on a ribbis arrangement. That's a problem. There is a shita. You look at the Taisis Yomtiv. It's gebayt on the sugi over here in Dafayin Aleph. There's one shita that way. Taisis Yisrael brings it also that you have to explain the second case. Avaloi Midas Yisrael a little bit differently. We're talking over here not about a Reuven that borrowed from a Goy. We're talking about a Goy that borrowed money from a Yid, Beribis, which is Mutter, like we had earlier. And now the Goy wants to pay back the Yiddish lender. Lamaisa, he meets up with another Yid, and the Yid says, Shimon says to the Goy, I'll assume the loan to Reuven. So if the Goy sets up Reuven and Shimon with each other, and even though the Goy is the one who's giving all the money to the other Yid, but it was Midas Yisrael, so then we have a problem. But if the Halvo was not with the Das of the other Yid, so then it's a lot of transfer between the Goy and the other Yid, and that's called the Halvo between the Goy and the Yid, and that's why it's not also. Lamaisa, there's no machlokes between the two Nuskois, just to show how to read the Mishnah, but the Din is one Din.